Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jason.
Happy New Year, sir.
To you as well.
How were your holidays?
Oh, just delightful. We exchanged the presents, many of which we purchased through Amazon.com by going to CheatersNeverPin.com and clicking on the Amazon link. And is it too early for that?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Okay, well. But yeah, good stuff. I made food. I actually didn't have to piss out a rock, so enjoy food.
It's an upgraded holiday.
Hooray for holidays.
That's good, man. I'm glad to hear it. We get our, I feel like we're, as a duo, we're finishing up our holidays this weekend, though.
Yeah, we've got a couple of events on the horizon.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We'll talk about both tonight, but here's the big tease up front. Wrestle Kingdom 13 is Friday morning at the ass crack of dawn.
It's not even dawn. It's before dawn.
So it'll end at the ass crack of dawn.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. There you go. If the sun is rising, you've already missed half the show.
is that like, I don't know. It's from the land of the rising sun. It airs while the sun is rising. There's some like beautiful like poetic piece there.
There's marketing for you right there.
Yeah. And then Sunday. Sunday, Tom.
Oh, Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday special for us.
We're going
Maybe not for other people in the country, but...
It doesn't matter, because you're going to hear us talk about it.
Yeah.
And if you follow us on Twitter at CheatersNeverPin or Instagram at CheatersNeverPin, you'll see plenty of it on Sunday. We are going to NXT.
And not NXT in a decently sized arena. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We're going to NXT at the Durham Armory, which capacity is about, what, 8?
Yeah. Which I don't know how we got as many tickets as we did, because the fire marshal would be pissed.
I think it's exclusively our show.
That would be the best.
The Cheaters Never Been episode of NXT.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah. So we'll get into that. We'll talk about our excitement for that later in the show.
Yeah.
And on not so happy news, we'll talk about the passing of Mean Gene Okerlund tonight.
Yeah,
very very sad. And we'll talk about the AEW news. All Elite Wrestling is a thing, officially.
Happy New Year to them!
Right, good for them. We'll get into that. So yeah, let's start off a new year. What do you say, Tom?
Let's do it.
Oh,
do we do that though?
Can you ring the bell?
I can.
Let's do it.
You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Section 328 Network, bringing you all the best in wrestling from WWE, New Japan, and beyond. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Workrate and JC.
Oh, buddies! It's another episode of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. My name is JC. Alongside me here next to me at the commentary table to the stars is my good buddy, Mr. Workrate, Tom.
Holla, holla.
I said next to me two different ways.
it's for both languages, I guess. You know, it's the overdub.
Yeah. Now see all I want, and only the people very close to me know this, but now all I want is Zahn Pomerantsev to do a Russian version of this show as me. That's when I'll know I've made it, when Zahn Pomerantsev is doing my voice. In Russian.
I don't know what any of those words mean. It may have been because I just watched the 49th and final episode of my Chinese romantic drama comedy show on Netflix that has finally wrapped up.
So Zahn Pomerantsev is... So every pay-per-view, when they do like the... Here's all the foreign language announcers. At the Russian table, it's always some other guy and Zahn Pomerantsev. And I don't know why... But I get really stoked when I see Zahn Pomerantsev.
Oh.
That's my boy.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's understandable.
Don't ask why. I just feel like I can relate to him. He looks relatable. Like, he looks like he would be one of our friends.
Well, that's your thing, man. We all have our kink.
It's not a kink. Jesus. All right. Let's just...
You use your words. I'll use mine.
Okay. You know who had a good way with words?
Who's that?
The now dearly departed WWE Hall of Famer, Gene Okerlund. who passed away. Today is what, Wednesday? So passed away Wednesday. There we go. At the age of 76, in Sarasota, Florida. Really sad news to kind of start the year off in wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you watch the network, things like Storytime and shows like that. Gene was still working. And I mean, you could hear he wasn't doing too much on camera work, but he'd do voiceovers and things like that. And you could tell in his voice that, you know, he was getting up there in age, and that bombastic voice that he had that projected it was a little bit sad to kind of hear in the end how it was getting a little bit weaker, but it was still great to hear in general. And I had seen in my Twitter feed, I mean, everyone sharing stories and things like that. And just seeing something from the last WrestleCade, which was Thanksgiving weekend, in Winston, where he was enjoying a martini, sitting at a table, watching Bob Backlund do handstands, because that's what happens when you get around Bob Backlund. Just seeing him be Backlund-esque and Gene kind of like sipping a martini and being like, yep, that's him.
Yep. I got to hear on the way into work this afternoon, I listened to Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM, and they had JR on. And he was talking about, I guess, the last time he saw Gene was at WrestleCade in Winston-Salem. And I said, you know, he got to have a good time just sitting at the bar with him, having a couple drinks, and he was Gene. He's one of those guys, you know, never changed.
And I think that's one of the things you heard from pretty much everybody in these stories is Gene was Gene. Legitimately nice person working. Every story that I've seen or every little snippet that came out of anybody who came in contact with him or worked with him just spoke about how positive he was and what a great guy he was backstage and helper and, you know, like just nice to you, whether you were a 19-year-old Jason Chaya or, you know, a guy who'd been in the business 40 years. As long as you're not smoking a cigarette near Ric Flair when he's doing his Royal Rumble victory speech.
Right. Can we just talk about, I pointed it out in our text thread that I had no idea Jason Chaya ever worked for WCW, which means we need to work our connections and get that interview.
I'm sorry you didn't know that. We had known that.
Oh, I never knew that. Thanks for sharing.
We need to share notes, I guess, every once in a while.
Number two, the ponytail that was cut off in that advertisement, though. That's what I really want. That's what I really want a picture of. I guess I tweeted, you know, when I found out, I tweeted out my thoughts, and I don't think they came across the way I wanted to state it, but I think, to me, so you look at Gene, you know, he comes to WWF at a time when the expansion's happening, and, you know, he comes from, holy crap, I just blanked on.
The AWA.
AWA. I wanted to keep saying AMA, and I was like, he did not come from the American Medical Association.
He comes four from, out of five doctors recommended him, though.
Yes, you know, he comes from the AWA, you know, alongside Hulk and you know that whole talent that kind of left there and moved to WWF at a time when their national expansion was happening. Right, that was the push, and I don't think WWF is nearly as successful as getting these guys over as huge superstars to the new large audience they have without Gene's incredible ability to be able to put over talent in every interview.
No.
Because of his innate ability to be able to just talk to them. You know, this is in a time when it's not scripted, right? We're not scripting every promo. These guys have to talk, and it requires someone with incredible strength and mental clarity to be able to guide them to where they need to be to get themselves over. And so I think he's a huge part of the expansion and growing WWF into a national entity.
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, these things weren't as scripted as they are now. And one of Gene Okerlund's greatest talents is his ability to ad lib. And I mean, you could see that just some of the things that would come off when he would do these interviews, because a lot of times he's going into the interview and he's just holding the mic out and he's letting whoever it is just kind of roll off it, which is fine if it's, you know, Ricky Steamboat or, you know, somebody like that that's just cutting a traditional promo and he can kind of egg them along. Mm-hmm. But he's doing promos with Randy Savage and the Ultimate Warrior and Hogan. And they're being ridiculous. I mean, especially, I mean, just the way that Savage was, and he just bring these things up. And there's so many. I think that's one of the most shared videos that I've seen are some of his interviews with Randy Savage, where Savage is just going off in various directions and Gene just rolls with it as if like he knew every single word that Randy was going to say and just bit right off of it. But that's how it was. I mean, that's how he was as a person. He was incredibly quick. He was witty. And he just had this sense of humor about him that he could just, he took no crap from anyone. Like, you know, the heels would turn around or a heel manager would say something and Gene would have none of it. Mm-hmm. He would just, you know, just kind of clap back at him. And it was just wasn't this generic mic holding person who's sitting there nodding along as right. You're pretty much instructed to do nowadays. He was part of the show. And I had mentioned it earlier. I think of those people in that era, just in the WWF era, in wrestling in general, I mean, no offense to the South, but I mean, WWF was pretty much the known property as wrestling expanded in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Hogan was obviously number one, but I mean, you can just see by the amount of responses on Twitter that like Mean Gene was probably in the top three or four when it came to characters of the WWF. Like he was an announcer, but he was completely over. Yep. And you're never going to see anything like that again.
No. Like, we will never see Charlie Caruso get to a Gene Okerlund level in any sense of the word. Like, personality-wise, getting over-wise. What? It's just not allowed. That's just not how they do it now, unfortunately. I would prefer if we had, interviewers that weren't just robots. That would be kind of nice.
Yeah.
But in the way it is now, like it's just not going to happen. He was a one of a kind talent that broke the mold, and will never be repeated.
And I think of it now, and you mentioned, you know, how the announcers and you see how they are now. They kind of have that kind of scripted thing, ladies and gentlemen, superstar, slow turn.
You forgot, yeah, this is just my guest at this time.
Yeah. So. But a lot of that is done because, you know, people are barking into it. It's like, we're not here to get you over. We're here to get the performer over, the brother. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, but Gene would turn around and Gene would do something and in essence, almost kind of get himself over a little bit, but he would never take away from the talent.
Yeah.
So he would say something, he'd throw some little quip in there, and usually there'd be a reaction on the other side, and, you know, Freddie Blassie or somebody like that would just kind of roll, and then just, it would add more fuel to the fire. So it's just that kind of talent that he had. And again, I don't think you do that with anybody else. And I'm thinking nowadays, like, is there another announcer that we think of now that just got to the level that recognition that Mean Gene is at? I mean, you look at a guy like Michael Cole, who's been with WWE for over 20 years in like a mm-hmm. broadcast position. he's never going to be at that rate. I mean, Jim Ross, as beloved as he is not at a Gene Okerlund level.
Right. Yep.
And it's just kind of almost gone downhill from that. Not downhill as in negative how announcers are, but it's just gotten like washed out almost.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
there will never be another, which is very sad. So our condolences to his family, friends, fans, everyone. So let's move on to happier stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, which is literally the rest of the show. Before we get to Wrestle Kingdom, let's talk about AEW. Let's talk about All Elite Wrestling being announced as official at midnight on New Year's Day when the new episode of Being the Elite dropped. It is everything we thought. It is the cons. The younger, the son, who's Tony, I believe, is the president of AEW. So it's their money backing it up. And of course, they've signed their first talent. It would be Cody, the Young Bucks, Brandi Rhodes, Adam Page. And they've also signed Britt Baker, Dana Massey, who's Matt Jackson's wife, also kind of signed on. So she's the mastermind behind all of their merchandise. So that's a real good person to have when you're talking about merchandise and you're thinking about the Young Bucks.
Merch, man.
You listen to the reports. Apparently there are multiple television deals kind of on the table, especially thanks to the performance of All In. And then later this week or beginning of next week, I can't remember, there's an event and a rally in Jacksonville around their second big show, Double or Nothing. And I'm sure we'll learn a lot more about AEW as a whole, as well as Double or Nothing in that. So, exciting.
Yeah. It's next week. It's not interrupting a Jaguars playoff game or anything. Spoiler, because they're bad. But
yeah, but did they lose to Gardner Webb in basketball?
They're a football team, JC.
Yeah, but they could probably still beat Gardner Webb in basketball.
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. All of our teams suck, JC. Anyway.
Kill me.
But we'll be able to see exactly what's going on. Tama Tonga responded to, I guess, the announcement or the picture of people signing, and his response was basically, "Where's Kenny O?" To which, since it is the internet and it is wrestling, someone had to explain, some schlub had to explain to Tama Tonga.
I know. I missed this.
Kenny Omega is contractually obligated to New Japan, and he probably doesn't want to affect his relationship by spoiling that.
Jesus
God
Christ.
Bless you, internet.
Oh, you dumb smarks. Let's see. The Double or Nothing rally is on January 8th. Will be live streamed at 5 p.m. Eastern. Funny enough, WWE taping SmackDown Live the same day in Jacksonville.
How convenient.
Boy.
A lot of rumors flying about who would sign, who's going to sign, that type of thing. I don't think you're going to see a mass exodus from WWE or anything like that. No. I think it's pretty much going to be Ring of Honor people whose contracts have expired, or Impact people whose contracts have expired, maybe a couple of independent people that don't necessarily wrestle for those two groups. I'm sure they'll work some connections with maybe some British promotion or two to bring over some talent here and there. There's already been talk with trying to work with New Japan, work out an affiliation with them as well to kind of keep that going. I mean, obviously New Japan would probably like to keep guys like Cody and the Bucks around,
yeah,
but at the same time kind of work at that affiliation. But I don't know how well that's going to work, and Ring of Honor at the same time, when you got to figure AEW's target isn't going to be WWE at this time.
No.
It's going to be Ring of Honor.
Yeah. I find it really interesting that in light of this news, Ring of Honor announced today they are partnering with the NWA for the Crockett Cup. And so they're kind of aligning themselves in a direction that I would say is unexpected. Especially as you see the NWA kind of trying to want to rise up a little bit and get to that level, which, you know, they've got a few years before they get there.
Well, I think it's mainly just, I mean, Billy Corgan and that NWA group just wants to rise up the NWA's name again to some kind of relevance. And they've done, I mean, they've defended the NWA world title, you know, in a couple of shows, and they want to keep this going. So yeah, they're going to reach out to at least the highest profile wrestling show that they can. Mm-hmm. I mean, they probably looked at both Impact and Ring of Honor and to see who would work out better, but right. You know, Billy and Impact.
They went with the promotion that's not in 312 households on their new network.
Right.
Yeah. I also find it really interesting. I can't remember what tweet I saw this in, what article I read it in. So this is not an original thought. Someone saying basically the biggest gaffe in wrestling in 2018 was Ring of Honor signing on to support and help back All In, because it may signal maybe part of a nail in a coffin for them potentially at some point. And I was like, that's an interesting way to look at it, because, you know, yeah, they supported production and financially All In. The talent that creates it and runs it then leaves and starts their own promotion with a significant financial backing that probably equals that of Ring of Honor. Yeah. In retrospect, good decision to be good people, terrible decision for business.
I mean, I think it's tough because you have to look at it both ways. If Ring of Honor decides to completely blow that off,
right,
then, I mean, potentially, it's not like the show gets canceled.
Right. Cody, but you damage that relationship, right? Well, you know, at that point, what are the odds of Cody and the Young Bucks going, F you know, fine, we're done. I mean, they were running that risk either way.
Yeah. And I mean, here, if the show does a lot of buys and things like that, you're going, oh, well, potentially that puts more exposure on our product in Ring of Honor. Let's kind of roll along with this and hopefully, fingers crossed, things will work out well for us.
Right.
So you kind of, it's a double-edged sword. It's, you're allowing that to happen, you're getting that exposure, but at the same time, and I don't know if Ring of Honor realized that something like this would actually happen, but you're allowing that kind of exposure for these guys, these specific people that have the connections and got on the phone and said, hey, we can do this, but we can do it our own way.
Right. Just, I thought that was just an interesting thing to think about. And it'll be way more interesting 12 months from now to kind of reflect on it and be like, well, that really hurt him. Or, all right, well, it didn't affect him at all.
And what's curious to me is, I think it was Ryan Satin had kind of called attention to it when that AEW Twitter account first started up and started following a bunch of arenas.
Yeah.
Which
I think we noted for those of you that are local to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, PNC Arena.
Yeah. PNC Arena is one of them. And it's just seeing, I guess, what they seem to be angling towards. Those are larger facilities.
Yeah.
Those aren't 3,000 seat arenas. Those aren't 54 seat arenas.
That is not Ring of Honor size.
No. It's not even NXT size.
Who draws more at PNC Arena, the Carolina Hurricanes or Ring of Honor? They should both be moved to Quebec City.
Is it a Tuesday night?
Yes. It's a Tuesday night against Arizona.
Well, either way, nobody's going to be sitting in the 300s.
But everybody downstairs gets real salty that they were asked to move down.
Yeah. But it's interesting that they're, I mean, they're not going to be able to necessarily have the name talent outside of the elite guys, or we'll call them, I don't know, the Hot Topic guys or whatever. Because, well, you're all elite wrestling, so it's all the good, but you want to keep calling them elite and all elite wrestling, it just kind of redundantizes itself. So, yes, all the people whose shirts you can buy at Hot Topic.
Rick and Morty coming to AEW. Slipknot performing live, Double or Nothing.
Gerard Way and My Chemical Romance reform at an AEW show.
Korn performing as part of StarCast with special frontman Bruce Prichard.
It's a dog collar freak on a leash match.
Love it.
That's disturbed. That's
I would say, yeah, that's disturbed. Come on,
I just like doing that.
Get down with the sickness, Tom. Anyway. Boy, go ahead and finish, then I'll.
No, I was just gonna say, but yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what Cody and the boys do and bring in, because I'm not sure how much more star power necessarily that they can bring in. It's one thing to run one show that gets people interested, but they're gonna have to do something on a regular basis, and I think they need a little more star power than what they have. So,
two interesting names I've seen floated around. Christopher Daniels, Joey Janela.
Well, the problem with both of those things, and you know I love Christopher Daniels.
I know.
Christopher Daniels is older than I am.
Yeah, and that's true.
As was explained in a episode 2-3 weeks ago, I'm extremely old. Mind you, Christopher Daniels, much better shape than I'm in. But
he is a fallen angel.
Yeah. So, yeah, I assume that him and Kazarian are pretty much a lock to go with there as well. But, again, these are older guys with limited mainstream appeal.
I don't think they're looking for mainstream appeal.
Yeah, but it's nice to have one or two guys that people know. I mean, and if you're building that totally off of the Bucks and Cody.
I think the one guy that they have the biggest chance of bringing in with mainstream appeal is Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if within the next 6 months, Chris Jericho is on an AEW show.
To just roll in, it's something different. He seems to be friends with those guys. Why not?
Yeah. Maybe doing,
and that will help greatly. And I think that may be one of the things that's a selling point to TV stations.
Yeah.
Because Cody is one thing, and Cody is level. Because I mean, regardless of what he is now, he is a former WWE superstar. So you can angle it that way. The Bucks have not been at that level. They're fun to watch, but, you know, Joe Mainstream guy knows Cody. He knows Cody, you know, the former Cody Rhodes. He knows who that guy is. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that was Stardust. That's the guy that was, you know, Dusty's son. We know who that is. So then it's a question of who else do I remember? And I mean, that's one of the things that TNA did initially was Well, we had the kind of regional Jeff Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett's friends for a little while. Then it was, let's grab all the guys that WWE cut or elected not to sign. Mm-hmm. And then they just kept rolling with that. As long as they kind of just pick and choose who they get, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah. But...
And I think Cody more so knows that, is smart enough to know that, where he doesn't necessarily, he knows how he got held back because of higher name people and that type of thing. So he kind of wants to build it from the ground up. I think he's a lot smarter than that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that discussion. They're not going to rely on former stars.
Plus I don't know how many are necessarily available.
Right. Well, I saw this discussion on Reddit the other day, and someone posted the annual Future Endeavors video package, the year-end retrospective, and there was a conversation in the comments about, like, man, they really didn't let go of many people this year, and, you know, everyone kind of agreed in the comments that, yeah, it's because you've got AEW springing up, you've got MLW signing talent, like, they're just, WWE's got unlimited money at this point, especially with the new TV deal starting. They can just hoard talent. It doesn't matter. They don't need to let anyone go. There's no financial benefit to them letting people go.
People need to work on main event. People need to work on 205 Live.
Yeah.
People need to work house shows that you'll never actually see.
Right. Somebody's got to tour the Florida Loop.
I mean, and they've got people popping down into NXT here and there, which, again, I love that idea.
Yep.
I mean, the pop that Tyler got when he went to face Ricochet.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
Just throw those things out there. I mean, especially if you're going to do it, like if Ricochet is going to do with the North American title the way that, you know, like the open challenges like they do on the main roster, and just to have people show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you kind of debut the NXT guys that haven't gotten the exposure necessarily yet, that they're kind of eventually folding in. Bring it to a main roster guy that's coming in for, you know, a one-shot deal or something like that. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun way to mix it up. But, yeah, I was reading the same thing you were reading, and no one's getting Future Endeavored unless either, one, they're doing something to get Future Endeavored, like being accused of spousal abuse or,
yeah,
you know, doing something pretty much illegal, or on the other side, specifically asking for their release.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you know, it's going to happen, but.
Yep. All right. Fun. Excited to see where it goes. We'll know a lot more next week.
Yeah.
Next, by the time we record, too, that's January 8th, so that'll be a big topic next week.
We got a week. Figure Wrestle Kingdom will be done, and then
I know.
We'll know the results of that. And
This is the beginning of the marathon time of year for professional wrestling. It's like Wrestle Kingdom starts, and it is balls to the wall until WrestleMania.
We got Wrestle Kingdom. We got the Rumbles only in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. We have the first NXT UK takeover a week from Saturday. It's game time, Tom.
New Japan's got a few things going on because you have the January 4th show.
Mm-hmm.
You have Wrestle Kingdom, but the New Year's Bash.
You have New Year Dash the next day. Fantasticamania is directly after that.
New Year's Dash always throws something different in there that's unexpected.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see eventually somebody turn on somebody else. Well, that's when we've had over the past couple of years, like, that's when Suzuki-Gun came back.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think of what else.
Other stuff.
That's when AJ was officially written out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do stuff there that they don't necessarily do. I mean, Wrestle Kingdom's been the thing that's been built, that gets built over, hell, 12 months pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's New Year's Dash is like the Raw after WrestleMania.
Yep. Yeah.
Where
oh, yeah.
100%. All the stuff gets remixed and.
Here we go. Yeah, set up the next year. Yep. You have, you know, some light heavyweight going, all right, I'm gonna be a heavyweight now. Or some junior saying that. I mean, yeah, it's going to be big. So let's talk about Wrestle Kingdom 13. But before we do that, Tom.
Okay.
I need to order some books.
Books?
Yeah.
Like reading type books?
Right, yeah.
Like actual physical books or stuff for
Yeah,
you
know,
Kindle?
I'm
going to
make it, I'm making it my, well, either way, I'm making it my New Year resolution. I'm going to try to read one wrestling book a month, Tom.
Okay. So you've got a lot of different stuff. You've got biographies,
yeah.
History of type thing. Again, there's that illustrated history of professional wrestling
right.
that I've mentioned a couple of months back, I think, and
I think
lots
the,
of other stuff
let me,
you can get.
Let me look at my Kindle here. The one thing I'm most excited, I'm going to read this whole series, I think, is the oh my god, if my Kindle will work anyway. The first book in the series is Blood Red Turns Dollar Green. It's the Paul O'Brien trilogy fiction
okay.
about professional wrestling. Kind of interested in that. Sounds like fun.
All right. One of the things that I'm looking for is the Chris Carlton book, Eggshells, about
Ooh,
the
yeah.
history of the Tokyo Dome in professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I've been meaning to pick that up, and I got a $10 credit recently. So
there you go.
I'm definitely going to pick that up.
Slobberknocker by Jim Ross. I still haven't read that. That's on the list for this year.
Yeah.
Man, where am I going to get all this?
Well,
I guess I could just drive down the street, go to the mall.
If I could give you a recommendation,
yeah.
I mean, you could probably just jump in your car and travel, I don't know, 50, 100 miles to the nearest bookstore.
Well, I could go right down from work.
75,
there's
100.
I think it's called Narns and Bobel. I could go to.
That's a library. That's not an actual place to buy books.
Oh, okay.
So you don't want to go there. They have coffee and.
I like coffee.
So, go to a coffee shop for coffee.
But
no,
if I,
no, no.
But there's coffee and books.
You don't need to do that.
All right. What do I do then, Tom?
You need to sit on your butt.
Okay,
all right.
Check done.
Okay, there you go.
Next step.
Just take your computer.
Do I need to pick it up? Because it's like it's part of the console here.
No,
or the studio.
I did not say pick up your computer. I said go to your computer.
You said get my computer.
Get at your computer.
I don't want to fight it. I think it'll win.
Carry your ass to the computer.
But I already set my ass down. Or plop my ass down, I believe.
Your chair has no wheels?
Oh, it does. All right. Yeah.
Okay. So roll Ooh. It over.
All right. I'm still here. Again, we covered this. I'm right here in the studio. It's in front of me. Which one,
okay.
though? Which computer?
Whichever one has the closest keyboard.
They're right next to each other.
Type the words cheatersneverpin.com.
Okay. Ooh, auto-completed. I wonder why. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. At that website, find the Amazon.com button.
I can't. Oh,
click,
yeah. It's right there. It's real big.
Click on that button. That'll bring you to Amazon.com.
Yeah.
And then while you're at Amazon.com, scroll through all those wrestling books that you thought of.
Yeah.
If you're already pre-logged in, you could just go straight to your wish list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They might already be in your cart. You might have taken them. You may have saved them for later.
It's fun. It looks just like Amazon.com. Are you sure I'm not being fished by those weirdos at Cheaters Never Pen, Tom?
You are not being fished. That is actually the legitimate Amazon.com. If you click on your little thing over to the side, you can actually see that it is
yes.
authenticated.
Let me check the
https://.
Yeah, let me check out this SSL certificate. Hold on.
Yeah, it's legitimate.
All right, we're good.
So this is Amazon.com. So you go and you shop there. You put all the stuff into your shopping cart. You go to checkout. you log in again in case you have that set so that it doesn't continuously keep you logged in or request for a password, you know, because security is a thing. You log into that.
Can I click buy it now? Like, yeah, I have impulse control issues.
You can buy it now if that's your thing.
Okay.
And then those books will come delivered to your home in 2 days or less. Ooh, if you've got the Prime option.
Oh, God, they're already here.
Maybe you've selected... If you've selected the Kindle versions, they'd be on your Kindle almost immediately.
Wow. It's impressive.
But the key here is that when you purchase that way, when you go to cheatersneverpin.com, click on the amazon.com button, shop through the process that way, that money that you spent on those books, a portion of that money goes out of Jeff Bezos' pocket and into ours. Doesn't cost you a cent more.
No.
It just screws Jeff Bezos.
If there's one thing we love to do on this show, screw Jeff Bezos. And you can clip that into whatever context you want, folks. Put that on your own soundboard. It could be your text tone. Just me coming out of your iPhone going, screw Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
CheatersNeverPin.com, click the Amazon button and buy stuff. These get out of hand more and more every week.
I wasn't sure what direction you were going with that. Just roll with that. Oh, yeah.
That was fun. Is it bad that that's the thing I look forward to most every week? Is what stupid insanity can we come up with for the Amazon read? I miss the background music, though.
Yeah.
Only 350-some days.
A little bit less if you're using that Hanukkah music.
320-some days. Stick around, folks. That's called a tease. Wrestle Kingdom 13, Friday morning, as we said, at the ass crack of dawn, or before dawn. It'll end at the end, whatever. We already did that joke.
Pre-dawn.
Pre-dawn, ooh, yeah. Pre-dawn on the pre-show for Wrestle Kingdom 13 is a gauntlet match to determine the number one contenders to the never open weight six-man tag team championships. It is the most violent Plaguers? Actually, that's more intimidating of a name. The most violent Plaguers. The most violent players, Togi Makabe and Toru Yano with Ryusuke Taguchi, will take on, in some random order, the following teams. Yuji Nagata, Jeff Cobb, and David Finlay. The Chaos team of Hirooki Goto, Beretta, and Chucky T. The Suzuki-gun team of Minoru Suzuki, Lance Archer, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. And the Elite, Hangman Page, Yujiro Takahashi, and Marty Scurll.
So, I have to do a little bit of research on this because...
It's the never six-man tag belts. It doesn't matter.
I understand that, but Toriano's not fighting on the Chaos team. He's part of the most violent players.
Right.
Which...
Also interesting of note here, and I don't know how this plays out long-term, Davey Boy Smith signed with MLW today.
Oh.
And I don't know what their working relationship is with New Japan. So, just a thing there.
Could we potentially see Davey Boy get replaced with... Well, I can't imagine they'd take him off the card.
No.
But there are plenty of Suzuki-gun people available. I mean, Taka could roll up in there.
Yeah, oh boy. I'd be so excited.
He is coming.
Can I just say what a freaking travesty it is that Suzuki is in the pre-show? And at the same time, how great it is that their roster is so deep that Minoru Suzuki's in the pre-show?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's what you have to look at, is where would you put him at this point?
Anywhere. He's Suzuki.
Right, I understand. Well,
in the main event against Kenny Omega instead of Tanahashi, because Jesus Christ, it's 2019 now. But I'll get to my thoughts on that when we get there.
Let's take a step back.
We're going to get there.
Are we talking about how old Tanahashi is? Because you're replacing him with Minoru Suzuki, who, spoiler alert, slightly older.
Yeah, that's true. But fresher. Not as good at air guitar. All right, anyway. Do we have a prediction for this match? Just randomly pick.
I want Toriano to win, so.
All right.
That's my prediction.
There you go. MVP and Taguchi. You want Toriano's DVDs and Taguchi's ass to win. And Togi Makabe's there, too.
That is easily who will be eating sweet confections.
Oh, yeah.
That's easily the most fun team out of all those groups.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, I'm going with them. As much as I love Beretta and Chucky T, and like want to pick them, no.
Now they're not going to break up then?
Who knows?
I mean, they've been teasing it the entire tag league, World Tag League.
That's true. I don't think they'll break it up in a six-man. That doesn't feel very New Japan.
Maybe we'll have more seeds of dissension.
Yeah. Time for the main card. Kota Ibushi defends his never open weight championship against Will Ospreay. You want to see some flippy shit, folks? Here you go. That is this match.
This match is either going to be like 7 stars or like 2.5 and highly disappointing, and someone's going to get carted out on a stretcher.
I would say this match either gets rated 7 stars or 2 neck braces.
Yeah.
But it's going to be good.
I'm looking forward to this one.
This is going to be a stunt show. Sorry. We all want to complain about WWE just doing spots to do spots a lot. Feel like this match is going to be spots just to do spots a lot. Now, at least it's going to build to something, and it's not just going to be, look, wild spot out of nowhere, and they're going to tell a story while they do it. But at the same time...
But the last Ospreay match I saw him in, and I guess it was the tag match, maybe? It was him and, like... Is it Ospreay and Tanahashi versus Golden Lovers, I guess it was.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful match.
Yeah, he's good. And he's starting to change his style a lot, too. Because I think he realizes he can't go a million miles a minute anymore. Well, he can, but he shouldn't if he'd like to wrestle for more than the next, I don't know, 3 weeks.
And I haven't been a huge Ospreay fan because of that reason, that he's been too spot-oriented, and it just kind of loses a little bit of something. And, I mean, you can only suspend disbelief for so long, but, yeah, I've been really impressed with him recently. And, again, I guess it's because he has changed his style a little bit. He doesn't have to go, like, full Dean Malenko or anything, but...
I think Kota Ibushi retains his title here. I see no reason for Ospreay to win it. Whatever.
Do you have a time limit in this?
I'm sure it's...
I can see them go and draw.
It's probably 30, right? I would assume it's 30. It's low enough on the card. It's probably 30.
I mean, is this the official order?
No. There's no way this is the order. This is just how it's listed on Wikipedia.com.
Right.
But
because I wouldn't have that open.
No, the junior tag match will open because it always does.
Right. And that's probably one of the matches that I'm looking forward to the least.
I never look forward to the multi-team IWGP junior heavyweight tag match.
By the way, that's the next match in this list. So let's talk about that now.
Suzuki-gun, the team of Kanemaru and El Desperado, defend against Roppongi 3K and the LIJ candidates of Bushi and Takagi.
Or for those of you who are just new to New Japan and are not sure who those people are, Guy with a bottle of Jack Daniels and Mask Guy.
Yeah.
Take on Shiny Pants Dudes. And Mask Guy who blows mist.
Yep.
And Jack Dude.
Yep. Pretty accurate.
So.
L.I.J. probably wins because they're L.I.J. Sure. I really don't care.
The Kanemaru Desperado team has held the belts a lot longer than I've expected, and they've made them kind of weak recently. I mean, not to be totally whatever, but they put over Roppongi 3K a couple of times. In the junior tag league, they put over the Bushi Dagagi team, which basically, I guess, sets up this match because you've got the champions that have lost to both the other teams. So theoretically, anyone could win this match because you've seen them already have won this match. So,
right.
But yeah, I don't know. Is it time for Roppongi 3K to break up?
No. If you break up Roppongi 3K, where do Sho and Yo go separate of each other? I mean, they're both talented, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they have any marketability or any reason to put them as singles competitors. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to be like, oh, I got to see that hot Sho match. Like, come on.
I don't know. They can work on their own. I don't know. You got to do something with them eventually.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
I guess you always need, like, tag people. I guess they've still got time in the tag division. I mean, you look at how that tag division has been over the past, like, few years, and you've had people who've eventually become talented singles wrestlers after the fact. But
yeah. Well, and you look at the way that entire division's kind of been shaken up the last couple years, right? I mean, you look at if the Young Bucks are gone, that's a huge piece missing.
Right.
You look at the fact that Roppongi Vice is gone now, right? Which has been a year.
Yep.
Who else is missing now? I feel like there's other teams that are missing. I don't know. Those were the two biggest for so long that I feel like there's still a hole at the top of the card for the junior heavyweights.
I mean, we had Liger and Tiger Mask challenging for the titles.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. I just feel like there's no star power in that division right now.
When you've got a 51-year-old and like a 45-year-old or so challenging for the junior tag titles, it shows that your depth is a little weak. But you've got, you've got a couple of young lions that eventually will break through.
Yeah.
And we've got some excursions to return from, don't we?
I'm sure. I'm not sure who. I could see it going to Roppongi 3K, though, too, and give them kind of a big crowning moment.
Yeah. Know?
They deserve it. The Rev Pro British Heavyweight Championship is on the line this year. In place of what has been the ROH Championship the last couple of years, I believe. Tomohiro Ishii defends against Zack Sabre Jr., which is just two completely different human beings in a ring at the same time.
Yeah, we're barely on the same species at this point.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I mean,
yeah, it's such a conflict of styles. Because you got Ishii who's like, I'm just going to use my forearm and murder you now. And Zack Sabre Jr. is like, well, if you do that, I'm going to bend your arm this way, and then I'll have your leg this way, and then before you know it, your head is literally touching your butthole.
And then Ishii says, how can you actually get my head to touch my butthole when I have no neck?
Zack Sabre
so many questions to be
then
answered.
Then Zack Sabre Jr. goes, there's still joints there I can bend. Don't worry about it. I don't know. It's this one's intriguing. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, this is one that will be interesting, but could also potentially just not work.
Yeah.
But
they're both,
I mean,
they're both so good at work. I'm not worried about that.
That's the thing. It's like, I could easily see it going south, but I mean, with these two guys, it's not going to.
No. Who walks away with the British Heavyweight Championship?
I think we put it back on Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, I agree. The IWP, Jesus, the IWGP Tag Team Championships in a three-way tag match. Because why not have the exact same match twice on one show? The Gorillas of Destiny defend against Sonata and Evil from LIJ and the Bucks.
Because we need to have the Bucks on the card somehow.
Yeah, in the heavyweight match.
Well, they're heavyweights now.
Yeah, because if Matt Jackson hasn't sold his back enough, let's put him in with the heavyweights.
So, Sonata and Evil's whole thing is they won the World Tag League again,
yep,
twice in a row now. Gorillaz Destiny's thing is, well, they're Bullet Club now, damn it.
OG.
Is it even going to be OG anymore?
Well, I don't know, considering even Finn Balor has an OG BC t-shirt now. I don't even know. Who the hell knows? If we're done with Bullet Club, can we just be done with Bullet Club? Can we let it? We don't need to go into Wolfpack Hollywood territory here with Bullet Club. Did we not learn the lesson 10, 15, 20 years ago?
I mean, I think there's still going to be Bullet Club, but Elite's kind of going off on its own and not necessarily going to be seen as much anymore. So
yeah. Just give the titles to LIJ. Whatever. Just put all the titles on them. I feel like that's what we do every Wrestle Kingdom at this point, so just keep it going.
I mean, Wrestle Kingdom's one of those things that ends up seeing a lot of title changes, so I could see it going to Sonata and Evil. I could see Tama Tonga and Tangaloa retaining too.
Yeah.
I just know that the Bucks aren't doing anything.
No.
They're gonna bump around.
Matt's gonna sell his back for 32 minutes. Cody defends the IWGP United States Championship against Juice Robinson. This match will tell us a lot about the future of AEW. And its partnership, I think. But I think now is the time to reward Juice.
Yeah. Give it a... Who did he beat? Did he beat Cody for the title the last time, or did he beat somebody else? Because he's already held the title.
I can't remember.
I mean, the main issue with Juice's first run, though, was that they put the belt on him, and then G1 came up.
Right.
And they couldn't have him look strong because so many other things were...
There's so much other stuff you got to start setting up by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Juice Robinson won the title from Knife Pervert himself, Jay White.
Right. Who won it off
special?
Who won it off Tanahashi last year at Wrestle Kingdom? Yes.
Who? No.
No. I know it was Knife Pervert and Tanahashi last year at Wrestle Kingdom. I did not watch that. That was my sleep break. I remember that.
Omega was U.S. champion originally,
right?
Jay White beat him at New Beginning in Sapporo.
Okay.
And then Juice won the title off of Jay White at the G1 special in San Francisco. Then Juice proceeded to go to G1. Lose to like 80% of the roster, and then finally got a match against Cody, and Cody took the title. So Juice had no successful defenses.
Yeah,
but yeah,
give him his belt back here. Whatever. Yeah, I'm down with that.
He's still incredibly popular And
it's so funny. CJ Parker is a top New Japan star.
Sometimes it just works that way.
It's so funny, man.
But Juice is rolling with it too. That's kind of the thing. I mean, when he was CJ Parker, I mean, what was he?
He wanted to defend the planet, man. And then he broke Kevin Owens' face.
Yeah.
Kushida defends the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Taiji Ishimori.
Speaking of Jack dudes.
Right. Kushida retains. Because it's Kushida.
And it's Bone Soldier.
Yeah, I know.
Captain New Japan's going to run in.
Hey, can I say I don't care about this match and have no one be mad at me?
No, you're allowed to say that.
Okay, yeah, I don't care about this match. I mean, Kushida's good, but I've never been, like, solidly entertained by him. I don't know why. Like, I've been entertained by watching his matches. I shouldn't say I'm not entertained by him. But I just don't connect with him, if that makes any sense. Like, I just look at him and go, okay, look, it's Marty McFly.
Cool. It's going to be a good match.
Oh, yeah.
But whether it's a match I can get into, I don't know.
Yeah. Knife Pervert versus Money Pervert.
In the most, I don't know, WWE booked match.
Yeah.
Like, they've...
Ghetto lost his mind a little bit here, guys.
Yeah. They've done everything, like, to kind of just build this into whatever it is. I mean, they've done a good job with Jay White.
Yeah.
I didn't buy into the whole Switchblade.
No one did at first.
And it's like, it's funny because... You look at something like Jay White and how he was booked, and then you take Roman Reigns and how they booked Roman, where Roman was basically shoved down your throat, and Jay White was shoved down your throat too.
For sure.
Shoved down Japan's throat, not ours specifically. But they found a way to make it work, and I guess at the same time too... It's easier to shove a heel down your throat than it is to shove babyface down your throat.
Yep.
And that's what's kind of happened with Jay White. But Jay, to his credit, has done a lot kind of in the ring, on the fly, that has worked for his character really well. Like, stuff that he's rolled off of, like when Yoshihashi... ran down to ringside and tripped and busted himself open to completely crap out what would have been a cool angle. Jay White just like DDTs him or whatever it is they did and just takes his blood and wipes it on his face like, Oh, that looks, that was polishing a turd right there.
Yeah. That was the ghetto turn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot that happened. Because that was like, that was right after the Titus fall. It was the same time frame.
I don't think I've seen Yoshihashi since then.
He's in hiding.
Oh. You have brought shame to the promotion.
It's time to commit Sudoku or Sapporo or whatever it is.
Commit to that number puzzle game.
Or beer. Chris Jericho defends the Intercontinental Championship against Tetsuya Naito.
That is the IWGP Intercontinental title, not the WWE Intercontinental title, which he also held numerous times.
Could you imagine? All right. In the next 2 years, do we see this match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship?
With Chris Jericho?
Chris Jericho and Tetsuya Naito for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. The last 2 years of wrestling have been so damn wild. It's possible.
So, 50-year-old Chris Jericho as champion.
He's doing that DDP yoga, man. Against Tetsuya Naito at NXT TakeOver Tokyo. I can see
that'd be something different.
That'd be fun. Naito gets the belt here. Jericho's probably done with his run again.
Yeah, or at least, I mean, take the belt off of him so that he can do his occasional appearances and not go all Lesnar and just kind of grab the title and disappear.
Yeah, that's been part of the problem with this run. And then finally, main event of the evening, Kenny Omega versus Hiroshi Tanahashi for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Talk about things that are going to give us some insight into all the wrestling.
Well, even further than that, like, if Tanahashi loses here, like, is he done? Like, are we done with Tanahashi? I feel like that this could be his swan song.
Done in the sense of, like, kind of switching to the mid card and...
Yep. I mean, like, now's his time to go to start fading away.
To transition to, yeah, like, maybe a tag title run or...
Right.
Something lower.
Yeah.
On the card.
Like, if he loses, I feel like this is his last Wrestle Kingdom main event. Which is huge, right? If you look over the last decade of New Japan Pro Wrestling, there is one name, and it is Hiroshi Tanahashi.
I mean, and you've made the comparison between him and Cena before. And, I mean, he is basically Japanese Cena.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where he, you know, he starred in his first major film this year, or last year. This is a new year now. And I don't know, I haven't heard ratings or anything like that, and I don't know how the hell well he did there or that's whatever, but...
I can find out.
It's also easier to... You know, be in a movie where your role is what you actually do for a living to begin with.
Right.
But could that be more movies in his future? Not as a wrestler, but just, you know, he's still got the movie star looks to him. And I mean, again, he's 42. It's weird to think because he has been around so long.
Yeah. But he's had, especially the last couple years, he's had so many injuries.
Yeah.
Like, he's not at 100% anymore.
And I don't want to, like, immediately put him out to, you know, start doing matches with Yuji Nagata and that group.
Oh, God.
But
yeah,
to put him in a kind of mid-level, reduce his workload a little bit. He doesn't, that's the thing now. They don't really need him to be the ace right now.
No.
Do they?
No.
I mean, they've got Okada, who's basically Okada. I mean, outside of this whole angle thing that they're doing with him, Okada basically replaced him over the last, what, 5 years?
Yeah. I would say, too, if you have, so Omega loses, right? I think that not only signals Tanahashi's here to stay, I think it signals they need Tanahashi to continue being in that top of the picture because Kenny Omega is going to leave.
Right.
And that, you know, they need that top star of that level. Which, admittedly, there are only four of in that company, right? There's Tanahashi, there's Okada, there's Omega, and there's Naito.
Right.
I don't know. It's a hard one to call.
I mean, I went into this match for the longest time thinking Omega's dropping the belt just because of the uncertainty with contract. If Omega's contract runs out, after January 4th or whenever technically contracts end in New Japan, if he's not signed still and he's not necessarily interested in re-signing or whatever, then you can't keep the belt on him.
Right.
So that's why I was like, oh, well, yeah, we'll take the belt off. It's Tanahashi, though.
If Omega drops the belt at Wrestle Kingdom, I think it makes New Year Dash the next day potentially the most interesting New Year Dash we've seen in a very long time. Including, I mean, we all knew AJ was WWE bound.
Right.
But, like, this is, like, huge question marks heading into the next day about what the future of the promotion is.
Because so many people are just expecting Kenny just to, you know, basically have the contract for All Elite in his hand. Like, but that's the question. Like, even if he were to sign with them, what kind of contract is it?
Right.
Is it going to be a contract similar to, say, what, you know, Cody and those guys had with Ring of Honor, where I'm kind of based in America, but I'm doing half America, half Japan, pretty much, because I know where I can make my money.
Yeah. It's interesting. And,
but Kenny hasn't had that kind of contract. Kenny's had the New Japan contract. He doesn't. Right? He's been pretty much straight up a New Japan guy. He wasn't a Ring of Honor guy that kind of, you know, or a half and half or whatever. He's been a New Japan guy for what? Like 5-6 years now.
Yeah. It's been quite a while. It could potentially be a new era for New Japan Pro Wrestling after Wrestle Kingdom 13 and New Year Dash.
Do I have to make a prediction for that match?
Yep.
Kenny.
I'm going to pick Tanahashi then, just to be contradictory. All right, let's start wrapping this thing up. This has been a long show. little does Tom know, I have a plan for next week, and it involves you, our fine listeners.
Oh.
So
I never know anything. It's fine.
No, I like springing things on you at the end of the show.
You do.
I do. It's fun that way. I like to keep you on your toes, especially since one half of them are metal now. Right? That's how that works.
My toes are not metal.
Oh, they don't just like cut off your leg and give you a metal one?
No.
Oh.
It was disappointing.
Damn it.
I don't have a loaded boot or anything.
I wish you did. So next week, it is now 2019. And with that in mind, it's time we look back at the year that was 2018 in professional wrestling. And so next week, along with our recap of Wrestle Kingdom 13 and New Year Dash, and the AEW announcement and whatever else may happen in the world of professional wrestling, we need to give out some year-end awards, Tom.
Ooh, hardware.
Yes. So I'm gonna come up with 5 categories, and I'm gonna tell you them now. But then I need you, the fans, to come up with some other categories we need to nominate people to be award winners for. So the ones we're gonna do, of course, match of the year. Easy. Male performer of the year, female performer of the year, tag team of the year, rising star of the year. Those are the 5. Those are the 5 we gotta prep for, Tom.
Okay.
And then we need all the people out there on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Need you to come up with categories. And I don't want like normal categories. Like just come up with some wild crap, please. It's way more entertaining. I think that's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
What would you like us to give an award for? And tell us your pick when you do it, too.
Yeah, we'll try to roll along and try not to steal your pick, but, you know.
No, but tell us your pick so we can go some other way with it and have fun with it. I thought that'd be a fun little activity next week. Yeah. Fill some time.
Damn it, I have to prep now.
Yep. So, We've got match of the year, male performer of the year, female performer of the year, tag team of the year, rising star of the year. The rest is on you, people. Get on it. What else you got for the show tonight, Tom?
I'm done. I think we've been at this for too long. It's officially tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. All right. So let's get out of here. Tom, tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
Go to the Twitter machine at Mr. Workrate, at MR Workrate. Apparently my account's banned from PlayStation Network, so don't find me there. Yeah, further investigation is needed, but yeah, just do Twitter. It's easier that way.
You can find me on Twitter at JC Bobbitt, JCBOBBITT. You can find me there or wherever finer social media is purveyed. You can find the show on Twitter at CheatersNVRPin. You can find us on Instagram at CheatersNeverPin. You can find us on Facebook, search CheatersNVRPin, and give us a big blue thumbs up and tell us how much you like us. You can find our app on your Roku devices to listen to us in the best room in your house. And also, as of the day this releases, this Thursday, the Cheaters Never Pin update is back up and running on your Amazon Alexa enabled devices. Add us to your flash briefing. Just go to your Alexa app, search Cheaters Never Pin. We'll be right there every morning with your daily news. I think that's it.
Man, you say a lot of words fast.
I do. And everybody's like, huh? I just picture people like pausing and rewinding and like writing it down on their like yellow legal pad. Like, I got to do this. I got to do this. Then I got to do this.
Well, you got the podcast button where you can do like twice the speed. Like, you need half the speed for you.
That's also an option.
And then twice the speed for me. And then it might be a normal podcast.
Probably. So next week, Wrestle Kingdom recap, New Year Dash recap, AEW recap. And our year-end awards with our categories and you, the listeners' categories.
Lots of content.
That'll be fun. And, of course, like we said, this coming Sunday, we're going to NXT. So follow us on the Instagram and Twitter. And you can be jealous.
And that's if you manage to get one of the three other seats available, say hi.
Yeah, if you're going to be at the Durham Armory this Sunday, holla at us. Holla at you boys. So that'll do it for this episode of the Cheaters Never Been podcast. We appreciate you listening, and I'm JC.
I'm Tom.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.